always get the arm movements backwards when dancing to the HOCA. I'm Oma Fingadoo, and I'm here to get down.
I thought you were playing charades. If you weren't, that was a great impression of a combine harvester. I'm Mia Harkness, and I'm not apologising for these dungarees.
Damn, ow, oh, the soul glow's dripped into my eyes and I can't see the script. I'm not sobbing, honestly. Hiding behind this enormous wig, I'm Hoang Kier, and I'm too cool for school, man.
For those of you who are far out, I'm Norma Snuckers. This is Hutton Orbital Radio, and now it's time for the skinny.
Flares are in as Pilot Federation launches its Autumn 3308 collection.
Brewer Corporation Brucey Bonus Buyback Scheme launches as commanders make the switch.
Too hot, too messy, latest.
Super swirly, scary space thing in economy drive.
Yet more bad news from Avic.
But good news from the community.
The Pilots Federation, ever at the forefront of fashion and determined not to be a dedicated follower, have released their autumn collection upon the galaxy. Out are psychedelic tie-dyed spacesuits, retro lost-in-space puffy survival gear, and the latest in haute couture. This season's must-have accessory for every stylish space pilot out there are flares. Yes, designed to hug the upper thigh and then bell-bottom out at the base to accommodate even the chunkiest of platform space mag boots. The flare is in. Pilots Federation Community Communications Specialist Sal has a funky sideline as a celebrity stylist, fashion writer, and has her finger on the pulse of the hot or not topics each season. Declaring flares season open, she's recommending that pilots add that little extra nanotech-filled fabric to the fullest. Wing collars for high G-whirls, letting you glide down from that high precipice, or trousers that have enough material to conceal your attendant Momus Bog Spaniel at your ankle. She even hid a cunning viral message in her latest fashion blog post with a rather cryptic marketing slogan hidden in the binary of an image. Even the cuffs have flared, leaving stage magicians with a whole wealth of new tricks, including pulling an entire SETI rabbit from thin air. Accessorizing your new wardrobe, she has recommended cool shades, the larger the better, and that station-based hairdressers encourage everyone to go big. Our very own Commander Shix, ordinarily a barometer for fashion, in the sense that if he's wearing it, it's definitely out, has found himself back in fashion for the first time in 30 years and hasn't felt this cool since the 3270s. There have been a number of reports of the more adventurous early adopters of the flares having their ankles caught in station lifts, causing head-to-ceiling injuries and groin strain as they hoisted into the air and thumped against the bulkheads at speed. The Pilots Federation took shipboard and station systems offline earlier today to apply a safety patch to the galaxy, adopting a cautious approach to the swooshing doors. The only flares that are not allowed in the galaxy appear to be the ones to Tharg the Mighty. He's in Lederhosen. This news article, as ever, is sponsored by Eddie Lee Rise and Sons, plus his daughters, of Lave Station. Tailored at stars out amongst stars.
The long-awaited incentive by the Brewer Corporation to seat the entire galaxy with fleet carriers has arrived. The lucky first few commanders have been offered the opportunity to double their money and potentially end up with two fleet carriers, all for the price of one. All subsidised by the Bank of Zeons. Returns like this haven't been seen in the galaxy since the days of seeking weapon signal sources. Confused? You will be. Commanders flying the Hotbox and PS ship platforms have been invited to step into the giant 3D photocopier, scan themselves and all their possessions at a submolecular level, then stand back and wonder as the clone-o-mat creates a perfect replica, complete with bank balance, system permits and as much ranking as one pilot would ever want. The only thing that can't clone, of course, is a fleet carrier. It turns out that at the larger scales, the clone-o-mat is a margin of error that looks like the interior looking like an Etch-a-Sketch. No, not an Etch-a-Sketch. Though we've seen some results that are close, and with compromised interior bulkhead integrity, that gives it the strength of a damp cardboard tube. The Bank of Zeos has a solution though. Just pawn your mighty large brewer-made barge, they'll hang on to the cash for you, and the clone-o-mat will do the rest, swiping the stripe on your Paynite members card and bringing you bucks by the bucket. Then, once you've met your alter ego in a parallel but connected universe of the PC pilot, you can splash the cash and run not one, but two fleet carriers within no time at all. The only remaining question is, where is everyone going to park them?
We are now into the sixth week of Too Hot, Too Messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagen to every single station in the galaxy. Mug-chucking commanders are rapidly approaching the 20,000 mug milestone, and earlier today we delivered the 10,000th mug to a station that we didn't know existed at the very start. Which is half of them. Almost 190 commanders from 68 squadrons are currently taking part, and of course, Hutton are still blazing away at the head of the squadron leaderboard. Romping past 7,000 deliveries yesterday, the Paladins had a quiet week and have been pushed into second place by the Winged Hussars, who started just over a week ago but have already made over 900 deliveries. Infinite Dreamer and Distant Vets are both single commander squadrons in the top 10. Commander Chicks, bloody overachiever, is still out in front with over 1,400 mugs delivered. However, he is being chased down by Nemb, who's approaching the 1,200 mark, with Mouse 8287 convincingly ahead of Val Savanna in fourth. How do we know all this? Well, it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hun Helper, and update live on the Too Hot Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hot_mess_2. At this rate, we'll have delivered a canister of Hutton mugs and Sundari Megagen to every station in the galaxy by July 3309. Have you noticed that it goes out by a month each week as we discover more and more stations that no one has ever visited? Despite that northern woman ironically announcing, "Welcome back, Commander." So, how do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? Well, first, you need to give in to your space FOMO and sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, where your mug and gin deliveries will be counted for by you. You know what? Antarius Fusion's magic hamsters do all the work, you know, so we don't have to. It comes in three flavors: Full Fat Helper, Helper Light, and Online Helper. So, choose the one that best suits your constitution, download it today, and get out there and become a ginger mugger. Just like Hutton Coffee, it's all about the grind.
For a week now, commanders have been following the progress of the super swirly, slightly scary Stargoid Space Swoosh and attempting to calculate both where it is going next and what its ultimate destination is. Karen and Stella have attempted to predict that path, but due to insufficient information related to the mass of the giant Galnet lookalike, whether it's engineered upgrade drives and of course with the actual method of propulsion that can push it more than 8,000 times the speed of light without making a frameshift jump, have concluded that the best they can do is to say that it is coming this way. Initial projections are that it will bump into something in time for Christmas, leading many commanders to start donning their festive jumpers and writing to the big bearded gift-giving spirit of festive gluttony and telling him that they've been good boys and girls and to please not send the Krampus. Canon have written asking for a new megaship as their old one seems to be stuck in a loop. The fuel rats have asked for a big space horse and it's far more efficient than little limpets. Alvin wants a new chew toy and President Hudson would quite like those photos back, no questions asked. Though with the last one we suspect he's on the naughty list and will just be getting a lump of coal. Looking at the erratic pattern from the last week, either the multi-bladed giant solar system slicing blender has been at the Centauri Megagen, or it has been a really small mass and its path is being bent by nearby massive objects, or it has to make regular stops to use the toilets, accompanied by the Thargoid Guardian, the least is appropriate, equivalent of, are we nearly there yet? Or it's refueling en route and uses conventional hydrogen-based fuel. Which of course begs the question, if it's going that fast, how long does it need to be able to slow down in time not to obliterate whatever system it hits, like a commander attempting a landing on a 10G world with 3D thrusters and 200 tons of hot and mugs on board. Breaking news, listener, we have an update.
It appears that who, or whatever, is guiding the mysterious Thargoid Kaleidoscope realised that they left the landing lights on. And in the interest of not crashing into so many curious ships and leaving them broken in its wake, like a litter of little bugs around a light at night, has gone dark. With hints being dropped that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there, circulating around Galweb, Hutton are encouraging pilots to pick up giant space ear trumpets and head to its last known location, stick their ear in the direction of deep space and see if they can hear the grumbling of the commander of the whatever it is complaining about the cost of energy and demanding to know who left the lights on and the big door open. If you hear a swirly thing, please report it to Canon Interstellar, and remember, where there's one big scary space spiral swirly shape, there are likely to be more, so keep them peeled, and if that doesn't work, take the cotton wool out of your ears. It could of course be the 3308 inverted version of a Victorian child and attempting to be heard and not seen. Either that, or it's a Romulan bird of prey from the sci-fi dimension with its cloak engaged, which really would raise some eyebrows.
Hasn't it been another busy week in Hutton Space? Outbreaks, infrastructure failures, famine, blight, war, and a small bust. More on those stories coming up. In its regular spot, Barnard Star has reached the dizzying heights of the high 30s during the week, but now it's down to 34, which is still pretty good for Barnard Star. There are no conflicts pending in the system, so make the most of this rare and brief opportunity to boost Hutton influence whilst it lasts. And Nat's crotchet above it on 35 are the two Epsilons, Eridani and Indy, which are both still suffering from the after effects of recent outbreaks. Speaking of outbreaks, the current variant appears to have an odd number of exactly one, as Epsilon Eridani passed it on to Epsilon Indy, which in turn passed it on to Wolf 25. So shipping all the meds you didn't manage to offload to the Epsilons at an outrageous profit and deliver them to the large pads in Bonkers. Rubbing salt, vinegar and even a generous blob of wintergreen into the wounds of poor little Avic, this tiny system has endured blight, war, famine in a week, and I'm afraid to say that it's taking its toll on the economy. Avic is bust, broke, brassic, destitute, on its uppers. So trade, 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 dump your carto data, sell your bio, sell your biological data, not your body, and get poor little Avic back on its size 4 feet again. What next? Frogs? Locusts? Blood? Kakari is the third system to suffer an infrastructure failure in recent weeks, so ship in water purifiers and power generators to return the system to normal operation. The last system to warrant a mention this week is Wolf 359, which has dipped below the threshold, at which Alvin lifts an ear and takes notice. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have 6 systems above 60%, one of which is over 70, and one is even over 80. Whoever is doing what in Stein 2051, do stop it. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Avic and Barnard's star, relieve the outbreak in Wolf 25, and fix the infrastructure failure in Kakari. And if you've still got time to spare after all that, deliver some mugs and some gin.
This week we have heard news of various events from Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East, week 27, and East India Company presents Operation Consolation. Does the Sun Still Rise in the East, week 27. The Not Too Hot for Hutton edition. Commander Labus Mercy told me dropping the R makes me sound more gangster, which is splendid, says Commander the Presence. Excuse my language, but blooming waypoints. You don't see one for months and months, then two come along at once. After entering Hawking's Gap, don't titter, I did that joke on the way out. I found I was able to hear the anomaly on the FSS all the way out here, but by turning up on radio, the noise miraculously disappeared. My application for Canon is now pending after that discovery. I made it to the Spartacus at last, but left a very disgruntled explorer after a run-in with the attractive young lady from Vista Genomics. After introducing myself and handing over my data, instead of lobbing my package out on her counter, I was confronted by, "Well, Mr. Necrotic, ew. If you're trying to impress me with that, all I can say is Commander Chix's was much bigger. Flossie, stop sniggering in the back. We're talking about exobiology." I was going to make fun of her name, but couldn't think of anything, so left with my tail between my legs. It will be the last time she gets her hand on anything of mine. I'd forgotten how short the sojourn between waypoints 14 and 15 were, a mere 5,000 light years, so it wasn't long at all before I got my first actual eyeball of the Pulia Nebula, which was great, as close up I thought it looked like a big bruise. No wonder there's no tourist beacon. I'll have a quick poke about there to see if the bark mounds are still missing, then it's onwards and upwards to waypoint 16. Until next week, TTFN 07. East India Company presents Operation Consolation. Now that console players transfers to PC are likely to go ahead on Monday, East India Company are doing another month-long giveaway of goods required to gain access to Horizons engineers in the bubble and Colonia. Hopefully this should help out those moving over to PC, but it's open to everyone. To coincide with console transfers, East India Company are offering free commodities to unlock Horizons engineers from 12th of September to 11th of October. All you need to do is mention Operation Consolation when you place your order, and there will be no charge for it. Any commander who wishes to help EIC from now until the 11th of October by carrying out trades, partaking in loading parties, or supplying any goods to EIC will receive the tag Operation Consolation. More details at tinyurl consolation time. And that's it for this week. I'm sure there must be more things going on. So if you know of any other events, please contact itookpart@huttonorbital.com or actually post in the correspondence part of Discord, in the Hutton Orbital Truckers Discord, where we'll pick it up and post it next week. And that's it for this week.